Thanksgiving marks an exciting time of year, a time when family and friends come together from all over to celebrate thanks, to feast together, to laugh, and to usher in the beginning of the holiday season. Some take part in the high-pressure festivities of Black Friday, some watch football, and some spend an entire day preparing for a great feast. A few years ago on Thanksgiving, my cousin was hosting her in-laws for the first time in married life. She was excitedly making preparations to cook the turkey, mash the potatoes, and bake the pumpkin pie. And she decided she didn't have all that much experience in the kitchen, so she bought pre-made pie crust, just so she didn't mess anything up. She went about the day cooking and baking away, and as she put the pumpkin filling in the pie crust, she thought the crust looked awful thick, but assumed Pillsbury knew what they were doing, so she filled the pie and stuffed it in the oven. Later that evening, as people settled from a wonderful Thanksgiving feast, they all began eating dessert, only to realize what had happened. As her mother-in-law bit into the pumpkin pie, she inquired about the crust. It turns out, unbeknownst to my cousin, that she had purchased not a one-pack, but a two-pack of pie crust, and had not only baked both of them, but left the wax paper lining in between the two, making for a very thick, very tough, very papery dessert. It turns out things don't always go as planned for the holidays. In fact, for many, the holidays are not only a series of later realized hilarious mishaps, but sometimes a season of sadness. While some families come together laughing and celebrating festivities with joy, other families come together and things go wrong. People argue, and family tensions that have died in the absence of one another resurface with new intensity. For others, loneliness is the issue. The holidays mark a time when you are reminded how distant your family is, whether geographically or emotionally. Still, for others, the holidays mark an unfortunate time of hardship, little reminders that financially you are barely making ends meet, and you realize that you won't be able to afford the gifts you would like for the people that you love. This year, in this place, I think that there is an extra stress because of the hurricane. Many people are still without homes for the holidays, and while some will go away to be with family, others will be remaining at homeless shelters for the season. Thanksgiving is a time marking a change of season, where we move into the winter months and the holidays, sometimes with joy, but sometimes with sadness and hope of something better next year. This particular Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday in the liturgical calendar, a time marking the ending of a season and the beginning of a new one. The next 4 weeks after this, as was mentioned, are the season of Advent, what we celebrate as the expectant waiting period for the birth of Christ. But right now, here, we are not there yet. This is the last Sunday of November. We are currently in the period waiting for deliverance and the celebration of the coming Messiah. We are in a time of change where we move from the initial expectation of the holiday season into the worshipful jubilation of the birth of Christ. This period of waiting for deliverance is precisely what is reflected in the text today from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. We live in a very different world from the one described in the text, and yet we are not all that far off from the passage. To provide a bit of historical background, Daniel was a prophet who lived under several different rulers. His people had been historically oppressed and were waiting for deliverance. As rulers changed in the kingdom, Daniel was tested each time because his religion was different from that of the ruling order. Daniel, a Jew by birth, believed in the God of Jacob, Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth. And Daniel believed in the coming Messiah that other prophets had also prophesied about. However, the kingdom Daniel lived under was oppressive to the Jewish people, and his friends and he himself had been tested in various ways. You may have seen the popular VeggieTales version of Daniel in the Lion's Den. A group of evil, though surprisingly peppy, asparagus dance about singing their sinister plot to the king. This lands cucumber Daniel in the Lion's Den. It is a fun and kid-friendly version of the Bible story of Daniel, but an entirely unrealistic representation of the torturously oppressive regime the Jews lived under during that time. Their oppression was based on the fact that they refused to worship idols or the earthly rulers that were in place in Babylon. Additionally, Daniel lived in a position of authority in the kingdom, serving the king through his prophetic visions and ability to read dreams. Daniel maintained his utter strength as a Jew while simultaneously being immersed in the Canaanite idol-worshipping regime he worked for. He and the other people of God during this time were not allowed to live out their religious beliefs, and under oppression, as they had been through much of the Old Testament, they deeply desired deliverance. The section of the text we are looking at this morning is specifically one of Daniel's dreams that he dreamed during the reign of Belshazzar. The language used in this section is typical of prophetic visions and dreams of the time. And it is important to note that visions and dreams traditional for prophecies of that time were not only relating to what we might call predictions for the future, but the prophetic witness of the contemporary life of the kingdom, the hope of deliverance. Daniel writes, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." The Ancient of Days being referred to shows up differently in different translations, but is probably referring to God in heaven. However, the verbiage used to describe him here is very indicative of the reign that Daniel is immersed in day to day. The popular Canaanite understanding of the head idol god at that time was that he was a big, white-haired old man. It is interesting that Daniel couples his Jewish faith with the Canaanite cultural understanding of the visual god, which is further evidence that Daniel's immersion in the Babylonian Empire existed. But the deeper meaning behind this passage is seen a little bit further along. Daniel 7, verses 13 to 14 reads, "In my vision at night, as I looked, there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The Son of Man referred to in this text simply means human being, and some translations translate it as such. But I think that there is something lost in translation when it is translated merely as human being. The distinct term used here, not coincidentally, is used 87 times in the Old Testament and is primarily used as somewhat of a proper name to refer to the coming Messiah, a savior, a deliverer, who is to be in human form. The dream that Daniel is having is one where the deliverer is given authority, glory, and sovereign power over all nations and people of every language. Daniel also prophesies regarding this new kingdom that is coming, the everlasting dominion. The text is interpreted farther along in the chapter to be a prophetic witness to the everlasting kingdom coming through the Messiah. What a hopeful prophetic witness of deliverance this must have been for the Jewish people. Further, the term Son of Man is used an additional 81 times in the New Testament, and most of these are Jesus using it as a personal title for himself to explain the things that will take place through him. He often refers to himself in the third person as the Son of Man to both explain the present situation and witness to the future for the people of God. The New Testament text this morning was from the book of John, chapter 8. In response to the question, "Who are you?" Jesus replies in verse 28 saying, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The message this morning from the book of Daniel is one of prophecy and deliverance for his people. The message is a message of hope, because while the Jews had been living under oppressive Babylonian reign and various other oppressive reigns throughout the Old Testament, they have hope in the coming Messiah. Daniel prophesies that the deliverer, the Son of Man, will in fact be given dominion over all nations and peoples, and that people will all worship him. What a breath of fresh air for the Jews who had previously been forced to worship idols under penalty of death. To have the promise of freedom to worship God through the coming of this deliverer, the Son of Man. But what does this mean for us today? We do not have such oppression in religious pursuits that we are forced to worship idols or not allowed to worship our God. And yet, we are not all that different from our Jewish ancestors, desiring deliverance. It is fitting today that as we enter the Advent season in the coming weeks, we first stop to recognize our yearning for deliverance. Before we begin lighting the Advent candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, we must first recognize the ending of this season. Deliverance is not solely deliverance for those who are physically oppressed for their religious beliefs. Deliverance is also for those who are being held captive to addiction, depression, and illness. It is for those who deeply desire to not be alone this holiday season. It is for those who yearn for peace and joy to fill their homes as family comes to town. It is for those who yearn for a place to call home. Deliverance is for those who are waiting for a safe haven from the storm, and for those who are waiting for healing for themselves or a loved one, for those desiring to be delivered from the depths of divorce, financial troubles, or a past that is holding you captive. What is it that you are desiring to be delivered from today? As the holiday season comes, it can be difficult to face the things that we are longing to be delivered from. It can be difficult to recognize or deal with the pain that we may associate with the holidays, or even simply the general stress of the holidays. Like the Jews under Babylonian reign, some of you may be worn, tired, and utterly spent at the thought of continuing to fight for a chance at deliverance. And maybe you find a little sliver of glimmering hope in the words of Daniel's prophecy that the Son of Man is coming. But the good news for us today, here in this place, is this. We have been delivered. Daniel is prophesying about the coming Messiah in Jesus. But the good news for us is that he has already come. The resurrection has happened. We live presently in a time and place where Jesus has saved and continues to save. He is fighting for us, and we are no longer alone, but always in the presence of our Savior. Certainly, there are times when it may feel like the world is caving in, but we no longer have to experience that in solitude. The immense beauty of this passage for us that the original listeners did not have is that we already are experiencing Christ. And now we can celebrate the next 4 weeks of eager expectation of his coming, knowing full well the love of God shown in Jesus, the Son of Man. There is hope, even in our sufferings, because Jesus has come, and the prophetic dream that Daniel refers to in the coming of the Son of Man is being fulfilled through Jesus. And it is with this hope and this good news that we can now go to the table of the Lord to celebrate what has already been done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ, the Deliverer.